This podcast contains references to mental health, eating struggles, and body image.
Using your imagination takes you on a brain vacation. Find time for the things that make you happy. Imagination time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Imagination Time. So today we're going to be talking about anxiety, and I have a special guest with me. And it is my best friend, Adam Smith, the one and only. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
So, Adam and I both suffer with anxiety disorder. And we are here today to talk a little bit about it and, you know, just give everyone a bit of advice or tell our stories. And hopefully it will help some of you or it will just be a good listen. Adam, first of all, would you like to share with the viewers your sort of story, so your journey with anxiety?
So I've had anxiety since I can remember, really, even like as far back as nursery. I was always, well, my mum was always told at this point that I had separation anxiety and that it would sort of start to go away as I got older. It never really did and just got considerably worse, to be honest, until it was just full-blown GAD rather than separation anxiety. And it just affected absolutely everything for like all of my like start of education. From nursery, I would cry and hug my mum every time I had to go in, and that was only for a couple of hours I couldn't deal with leaving. But then as I got into primary and junior school, my attendance was like awful because I just refused to go in because it made me so anxious. And I think at that point it was so bad because I didn't really understand what it was. And like the worst part of anxiety for me has always been the physical symptoms, like nausea, feeling like you're going to be sick, lightheaded, what have you. And I would always get those feelings every single day, and I'd be trying to convince my mum that I was ill and needed a day sick off school. Yeah. And she'd never believe me. And I was like, it was really stressful because I knew I felt sick. I just didn't know why. And I thought I was ill all the time.
Same.
And then that's when like there was meetings with the school and stuff. And I was first like diagnosed in year four at the age of whatever you are in year four, eight.
Yeah, nine.
And like, it was diagnosed as GAD then, which is general anxiety disorder, which is just anxiety like as a whole, not about specific things. And obviously separation anxiety was like a huge part of what they looked at in trying to help me at that point, because there was still that anxiety around going into school and leaving my mum. Then as I got into secondary school, it was less about separation. It was more about just spending time in school. And like that was like my main trigger for most of my life has been going into school. So even in to year 7 to 11, like attendance was really bad. And there was like a few phases where it was like good, and I had a good group of friends who were very helpful. Even when I didn't tell them, they just knew that I didn't feel like coming into school and would be helpful without asking questions, which was really good for me. And then in year 10 and 11, it got like really bad. And that was when I like first started on therapy and drugs, what are they called?
Right.
The good drugs, the good drugs.
Medication.
Medication, mm-hmm. That's the word I'm looking for.
I mean, some people turn to that, you know.
Yes, not me. Yeah, so that's when I first started on medication and therapy. And the hardest years were year 10, 11, and the 2 years I spent in college were really stressful to me. But yeah, in college, at the end of college was when things started to get a bit easier, largely because of the person hosting this podcast. Aww. Who's been my best friend and helped me through everything. And it's finally someone who understands everything I say. And now things are starting to look up a little bit as I go into university and get on with my life a little bit, which is good because now at least I have some sort of chance at redemption for my missed education.
Aw, thank you for sharing your story. So, yeah, Adam and I have quite similar stories. So I had the same problems with, like, preschool separation anxiety, and had to talk to like the Senko and stuff. So my mum always tells me, I think that was what they're called, they didn't really know what was wrong. And the first thing that they said to me in nursery was like, after I talked to the Senko, they said to me, they said to my mum that apparently I'd said that, because at the time my mum was pregnant with my little brother, so apparently at the time I told the Senko that I was just really worried that my mum was going to have the baby and I was going to be left behind at preschool. So I guess that's sort of the start of, I mean, I always had anxiety, same as you, since for as long as I can remember. And my mum says the same thing. She says I was always quite an anxious child. But yeah, and then same thing with me, really, with secondary school, except my worst years were the first years of secondary school, so it was like 7 and 8, whereas obviously, you know, the last years. But mine was more, because my anxiety is more triggered by change, so starting a new school and having it so different, because my primary school was so tiny as well, and the secondary school I went to had like 1,000 times the people, loads of people, and it was just all really new for me. And the thing is, it's the same as what you said, is that I didn't know it was anxiety. I was like, why do I keep feeling ill all the time? And because I'd been fine. Like, when I first started school, obviously I didn't have the natural nerves that children do. But, you know, I wasn't like, I didn't have any of these feelings when I first started. It was more as I got into the year, around Christmas time, I think. And so I just had no idea where I'd come from. And I just thought, like, why am I, like, ill all the time? And my mum didn't really know either. And then at some point my mum mentioned, like, maybe it's just, like, an anxiety. Maybe you're anxious. And then after a while we sort of figured out that I was. And then I think, yeah, I got diagnosed about year 7, year 8, I think. I think it must have been year 7, yeah. And I went to see multiple, you know, I saw multiple counsellors. And then, yeah, I sort of got a bit better with it after that, like, secondary school. And then when I started college, it was a little bit bad again, but it wasn't too bad. And since then, it's never been as bad as it was at the start, really. And then obviously lockdown has made it a bit rubbish again, but we're slowly climbing up the ladder. So my second question is, what, Adam, did you used to think of yourself? And like, where were you? What stage did you say you're at? And what did you think of yourself? Like, did you think you'd succeed? Did you think you'd, you know, your anxiety would ruin things as you got older? Like, what was your sort of thought process back then?
Especially when, like, I was first diagnosed with it, I was very scared that it was just going to be a thing that was for the rest of my life. I can't do anything.
Yeah,
and, like, I thought it would be, oh, I can't go to school, so I won't be able to go to work. I won't be able to get a job. I won't be able to live a normal life once I've finished my education.
He gave quotation marks on normal there, by the way, for those of you who cannot see us.
Yeah, I forgot it was just a podcast, not a podcast.
I do that, don't worry.
I thought it was going to have a massive effect on that, and that I would really, like, be stuffed when it came to doing anything, like, that I
you
wanted to do
if
in my life.
You really need to swear. That's fine.
No, I'm a good Christian boy. And it was only recently in college where I sort of started to, I was naturally smart enough, not to be cocky, to get through school with a lower attendance. And I never shone, but I got through. And with my SATs, I did all right. I can't remember the grades. GCSEs, I came out with, like, some B's and C's. So I did well enough to get into college. And, like, college did all right because I picked some quite practical-based coursework subjects, which were something that really helped me with anxiety because I could sort of work my way through it, and when I was feeling motivated I could get a lot done and, like, not have to stick to a timetable and not run the risk of coming up to an exam where I was going through an anxious phase and I just couldn't do any of it. So that did all right. But it was only after college when I sort of realized it, the effect that it had on my life as a whole and, like, my dreams. And it was when I was starting college, I wanted to go into physiotherapy after college and be a physiotherapist. But I was told that I couldn't do biology because of my average GCSE grade, which weren't that bad, but biology is apparently
quite a hard
subject. So they wouldn't let me do that. And luckily I found another course that I did enjoy and has just about got me to the place I want to be now. But I think at that point I realised, like, I really wish I had just put up with it. I know it seemed impossible at the time, but I really wish I'd put up with it and just put my head down and tried to do as best I can, because I didn't really think about how much it would affect my future. I was just more worried about the day to day at that point, because it was such a big issue for me every single day, like getting out of bed and going to school, let alone trying when I managed to get there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I, you know, same thing as me. It's was more about getting through each day than it was about actually trying to get anywhere with your life. And I know it must have been a lot harder for you in a way, having it towards the end of school when you had exams and, like, important stuff. I used to get panic attacks over, like, year 7 French assessment. Yeah, and that was really hard for me. And I used to wake up thinking, oh, like, this is just awful. And obviously a lot of people probably get this, but I know both of us experience, like, the depression side of anxiety, where you have so much anxiety that it sort of leads to feeling like there's no point, and that, you know, like, when everything makes you anxious, it makes you feel like giving up because you can't do anything, like, that, quotation marks, normal people can do. And it does get you down. Yeah, I mean, I guess that takes us to the next question, which is, what do you think of yourself now? And where are you now? Like, you know, have you improved? Do you think you've improved? And how?
I think from what I've noticed, and I think from what I've heard people around me have noticed, that I'm in a much better place now.
Yeah.
There is obviously still those anxious moments because it never really does go away, unfortunately. But I've got to a point where I'm able to cope, and sort of that realisation that I sort of had in college, that because I'd let my anxiety get the better of me, I wasn't where I originally wanted to be. I sort of, after college, I didn't want to let that happen again, and I wanted to make sure, like, you know, like, yes, I've got anxiety, but, like, I've got a whole life ahead of me that I want to be as good as possible, and if I let anxiety ruin these few years now, then it will completely change the rest of my life. And I sort of made that conscious decision to not allow it to affect my studies, really, were the main thing that they were affecting, and to, you know, try and do as best I can with that, like, whether it means, you know, feeling like I'm going to throw up and still going into my lecture, or
yeah.
Making sure that I am working to a schedule, to, because deadlines stress me out and I always leave it to the last minute, as I'm sure a lot of people do. Same. Anyway, but it's just when I sort of realised the effect that it had on my GCSEs and my A-levels, I thought I can't let it have that effect on my degree, because then it's going to affect me for the rest of my life. And I do have, despite the anxiety, I do have aspirations for the rest of my life, which require me to do well and end up with a career that I enjoy. Because, you know, if I don't do well now and, like, deal with the anxiety now, my work that, if I don't get into a career I want to do, then, you know, my work is going to be a trigger for me for the rest of my life. Whereas at least if I can put in the anxious work now and manage to get through my degree and do what I want to do, that means the rest of my life, when I'm doing something that's slightly less painful to go into work every day, it will just, you know, it will help me for years to come, rather than just, you know, oh, yay, I feel anxious, I'll skip my lecture and spend a day in bed today.
Yeah, definitely. And in the grand scheme of things, it's always good to have a duvet day, is what my mum used to call them. You know, my mum's always been really supportive of my anxiety, and she's understood it from a perspective of her own as well. Yeah, my mum used to call them duvet days, where even just, like, not even just about anxiety, she, you know, did the same for my other siblings. That if there's a day where you just, you know, some days, like, your mental health is just worse no matter what. Like, sometimes you just have days where you wake up and you just feel really crap and you just don't know why, and, like, you know, that's fine. But obviously, yeah, like, with anxiety, sometimes it's every day, and when you go through bad phases, it's like you don't, you know. And I'm sure it's the same with a lot of mental health conditions too, but yeah, from an experience of my own, I think it is one of those things that you really have to try and push yourself out of. And it's so hard, like, because when you're in the moment, you're like, I'm never gonna be normal, I'm never gonna feel better. And believe me, there were days where 12-year-old Immy was, you know, crying on the, like, bathroom floor, just thinking that I was never going to be okay, and that I was going to spend the rest of my life not being able to do anything. And
there's still days where 20-year-old Adam does that.
Yeah, and then, you know, and still days where 19-year-old Amy does that, and that's okay, though. But it's when it goes from, you know, having it every day to having it very occasionally, and, you know, in those times it feels bad, but afterwards you know that it's just a little, like, slip-up, like we all have. And I just remember thinking in year 7, year 8, like, oh my gosh, I'm having panic attacks and being sick over thinking about French exams, like assessments that do not mean anything. And I used to think, oh my gosh, how am I going to take my GCSEs? I told myself, like, there is just no way I can take my GCSEs. Like, I physically am not going to be able to do that when I get to year 11. And I used to say it to my mum, and my mum used to be like, stop thinking ahead, like, that's so far away, you don't know what you're going to be like then. And she was right, because I was so much better by then. My mental health as a whole was great. I had a good group of friends, and I was just a lot happier in general. The next thing we're going to move on to, some advice that you would give to your younger self, you know, in the wise words of Matty Healy. What would you say to your younger self?
I think that the main thing I would want to tell myself is to try and deal with the pain short term in order to get your long term goals. And I think, you know, I realized early enough to, you know, manage to get, like, my life plans back on track how I wanted. But, like, if I had let my anxiety, like, take control of me for any longer, then, you know, I might not have been able to get onto the degree I wanted to and, you know, aim for the career that I want after university. And I might not have been able to do that if I had let anxiety, like, control my life for any longer. And I, like, it's been a struggle to manage to get to the point where I am now on the, you know, correct career path for me. And I think it just would have been a lot easier if I was able to go back and say, like, you know, I know you're feeling shit and I know you don't want to go in today, but in 4 years' time, you'll really thank yourself for this because you'll be having a lot easier of a time. And, like, you know, you will be feeling better and you will, like, take control of this. But a lot of the problems that you get the most anxious about are caused because you get anxious about the little problems. And, like, I'd get anxious about going into school, and then that would make me not do so well at school. And then I get really anxious that I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life because I haven't got the grades I need to do it. And it's just like, it's so easy for anxiety to turn, to make a mountain out of a molehill. And like, it really does. And I think it only like hits you like when you realize what the mountain is. And like, you know, I've had to work really hard in order to get to the place I want to be now. And it just would have been a hell of a lot easier if I had started working towards it and realised what I wanted to do, you know, in secondary school. Or, but like, not to put pressure on anyone in secondary school, because like, obviously you don't have to make a decision then. But the thing that's important for me is like, it gave me options, because I didn't realise what I wanted to do until about a week ago.
Yeah, and some people were 56 and they still don't know what they're going to do. It's crazy. I mean, my mum says it to me all the time. My mum's not 56, she's younger than that, but she'll hate me. She'll hate me if I say that. She's not 56, she's like a 10 years younger. Anyways, my mum always says, oh, I still don't know what I want to do. And, you know, she's a mum of four kids who were all pretty grown up. Three of us are adults now, technically. And, you know, she always says, I still don't know what I want to do. And that's the thing, there are so many people that don't know what they want to do. And so, yeah, I agree with you, like, there's no pressure. But I think what you're trying to say, which is, I think what I was going to say as well for mine, is that it's more about just putting in as much effort as you can. And, yeah, like, putting in the effort, and rather than, like, pressuring yourself to know what you want to do, just try so that you can do what you want to do.
Yeah, give yourself the option.
A try, so just give.
Yeah, I think what I would have, like, the main, like, emphasis I would have put behind it is give yourself the options for the future, because I've just about managed to get, you know, to figure out what I wanted to do in the last couple of weeks, and I've just about, hopefully, fingers crossed, managed to get to a point where I can go on to do that. But it was close, and it was very stressful, and I wouldn't have had this problem if I had not decided earlier, but given myself the option to decide from a wide range of degrees now, because I sort of let anxiety push me into a marketing based career, because after college I was like, I cannot do any more education. It stresses me out way too much. And I went and I did a digital marketing apprenticeship, and I lost my job in that. Thankfully, I'm very thankful for that now after a year because of COVID. And I thought, you know what, I'm in a better place now. I'll go and do a marketing degree, because I'd just done a marketing apprenticeship, it makes sense. And I started it, and I thought, I'm in a better place, and this is not what I want to do now. I want to.
And you also started very late, didn't you? You started quite late into the
year. I started 8 weeks into a 12-week term. Partly my own fault. I technically started 2 weeks late, and then just because I was 2 weeks late, just put it off and off, which is a whole another anxiety thing.
Yeah.
And I just never really got into it. And then when I
But it helped you get to where you are now.
It did. It did. Now what I've decided is that I want to go into law, and I was just about able to get onto a law degree and pursue my career that way. And going straight into a law degree would have been easier if I'd just gone straight from that into college, from college into that even. But I never would have had that time to take that step away from education and improve my mental health in order to get to a place where I was confident enough to go and say, I want to do a law degree, because it's harder than my marketing degree was. And, you know, I know what I've signed myself up for, and I feel confident enough to do that, which I never did before. And I was sort of happy just letting my anxiety say, yeah, don't do anything out of your comfort zone, because you're doing decent in marketing, you've got an apprenticeship in it, most of this stuff that is on your course at the moment you knew from your apprenticeship. So, like, you know, stick with that. It's easy. Like, you can get a career at that and, you know, the rest of your life is easy. But then recently is when I took a step back and I thought, you know what, I don't want to do the easy thing anymore. I don't want to let it take control of me in that way. Mm-hmm. I want to push myself and give myself a challenge, which is why I've now decided to go and do law. And I just think it's important that I had that option to change, because if I had let anxiety like control me and not get that apprenticeship, I never would have got into this degree and I wouldn't have been able to transfer to law. And like, it's sort of something that I'm thankful for, but also it would have been helpful if I'd realized it earlier.
Well, you know, I mean, you can't change the way that your thought process works, because, you know, a few weeks or months or however long ago, you didn't think that that was something you could do, so it wasn't really an option. But yeah, I think on terms of advice, the things I would tell, the advice I'd give myself younger Imi would be very different from you, actually. Because I feel like you can't really give yourself advice on saying, oh, do this better. Because, you know, in this mental state that you were in that time, like the frame of mind, you can't change that no matter what. You know, you can try and try a bit harder, but at the end of the day, you can't tell yourself that, oh, be better, you know. So I think for me,
I thought my answer was a good answer.
No, I think it was great. I think it was great. But what I mean is that, like, for me, it wouldn't be anything to do with, like, do this, do that. Just because of knowing what I personally was like at that time, I could not have changed, like, no matter how hard. Like, I always look back and I'm like, I wish I'd tried a bit harder. I wish I'd, because, like, my GCSEs, like, they were fine. Same as Adam, I got Bs and Cs. About half and half, but the thing is I was predicted A's and A stars and things, which I really didn't get. And like, but you know what, here's a little message for you people out there, especially those of you who are taking or about to take GCSEs. They're not all that, because I was predicted an A star in drama GCSE. I got a B, I got an E in my written exam, and I got a B overall. And now I go to the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama in London, which is like in the top 4 drama schools in the UK. So honestly, if you want to do... yeah, what can I say? I'm joking. But no, I think anything, if you really want to get somewhere, you can get there and you don't have to worry about like what you've done in the past. But anyways, that's besides the point. What I was going to say is that I think if I were to give my younger self some advice, it would probably be like, well, first of all, it's going to get better. Like, don't plan your life around this is going to be me forever.
Yeah,
so many
too.
Things. And I think that's what you were saying.
Get that across properly, but
I know exactly what you mean, but that's what made me think of it, is because, yeah, that's the thing. I think when I was so young, you know, 11, 12, 13 was the ages that I was the worst with anxiety, I just said to myself, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to do anything. And I actually, like, genuinely thought, well, it's fine, I'll just live with my mum for the rest of my life and she'll look after me, because, like, she's the only person that makes you feel better. And I used to just think that, and I'm sure now my mum would say she'd love that, even though back then she'd be like, get out. No, I'm joking. But basically, I think that I would have told myself, like, don't plan your life around having anxiety this badly, because I really did. I really, you know, I picked my options based on it. Even in year 9, when things were feeling better, I still, a lot of, you know, I didn't take French, I didn't take, I mean, to be fair, I'm glad I didn't, because it wouldn't have got me anywhere. But at the time, I didn't take it because I thought, well, by the time I get to year 11 and do my exams, I won't be able to do it because I'm too anxious. And I dropped that. And, like, I'm not mad that I dropped it, because I took other subjects which I preferred over it. But, yeah, I do kind of wish that I'd have not planned my life around, because a lot of the time I did tell myself, well, you know, what am I going to do when I'm that age, because I'm going to feel like this. And I thought of, and I guess similar to you in a way, I didn't have the same experience exactly, but the similar thought process where I thought, oh, I'm going to do something easy. And I wanted to do, I mean, easy for me. And I've always wanted to do something to do with drama, but because I always used to want to be an actor. And then I got to this age and I thought, oh, I'll just do something way simpler than that. Like, I'll be a teacher, like a drama teacher. And I'll just, and you know, drama teachers are great, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't what I truly wanted to do. It was, for me, the easy route, because I knew that that's something I could do. I knew I could, like, talk in front of a class. And that's another thing as well with me. Anxiety doesn't really affect me, like, socially, but I guess that's more social anxiety. But I could talk in front of a class. I could tell people, like, what to do. I'm quite, like, a bossy person. And I just, you know, I thought, well, drama teacher, that's easy. You know, simple salary, simple job, follow a syllabus, I'll just do that. And I actually really did think that for a while. And I changed my mind a lot thinking, oh, but I want to do this, I want to do that. But I kept going back to drama teacher thinking that's just the way to go. It's just the easy route for me. And then when I was applying to universities, I was applying to do like drama and education to be a teacher. But then now I'm actually kind of studying the same thing, but do drama, applied theatre and education. But it's a drama school and it's a quite a different, it's got different modules from the unis that I looked at. And it's a lot of like practical based work, so it's really nice. But I think the advice I'd give myself, yes, is first of all that, you know, not planning my life around having anxiety this bad for the rest of it. And also maybe it would be to just be a bit kinder to myself, really. And to be honest, I would say that to myself now. I haven't really changed that much. But I know now that I need to, and I do try. Whereas back then I used to just be so awful to myself. Like, you know, everyone always says we're our own worst enemies. Like, we're our own biggest bullies. Because we are, like, the things we say to ourselves, if someone else said them to you, it'd be horrible. But I just used to be awful to myself, and I used to say, like, that I was not worth anything, and that, like, I had this problem, and that I was really, like, messed up and different, and, like, no one would ever understand me, and that, like, there's no point in anything. And, you know, now I look at that, and I'm still not the nicest to myself, as I'm sure no one is, but... And I know, but what I do know is that I know that I can get places, and I tell myself a lot to like keep following my dream. At the end of the day, that's like the general main advice I'd give myself. So that leads us on to the penultimate question, which is, do you have any tips, Adam, on how you personally cope with your everyday life having anxiety? Because obviously there are lots of coping mechanisms out there, but I'm quite interested to hear, like, what helps you personally?
I think one of the, like, most important things, and it is, like, horrendously generic, is just to hang in there and have faith that things will get better.
Mm.
And a lot of the time, you won't have any evidence to prove that they will, but you just need to hope. And
believe.
There was times where I did believe, and it didn't really help, but there were times where I did believe and it did help, and there were times where I didn't believe. But like, I just think there is always something positive that will come in the future.
Mm.
And even if it is surrounded by negatives, like, you've just got to try and look out for those positives and think, oh, well, you know, I might be feeling shit and anxious today, but, like, you know, give it a week and something good will happen, or give it a little bit longer. And I just think if you continue doing that and cling on to those good things that come once in a while, they will start to come more often. And, like, if you just have faith and keep, like, use those things as something to keep you going,
yeah,
eventually you'll get to a place where you are happier with yourself and happier with life. And, you know, it's the sad things that come along once in a while rather than the other way around. And I think I can speak for both me and Imi, where we're not completely at a point where the sadness is once in a while, it's more the happiness is once in a while for us, but still. But it's becoming, well, for me, it's become, I can only speak for me on this, it's becoming more frequent, and it is getting easier slowly. And I have noticed that improvement over the last 3 years that I thought I would never see. And I just think you've just got to have faith that it will get better.
Yeah.
If you're in a worse, like, position than I am now, or a better one, and you still feel like you have, like, a place to go. Because I can still see, like, lots of improvements that I can make on myself. But I think I've managed to get to a point where I can see that they will happen if I work towards them.
Yeah, and you've done really well. Like, obviously, just in the time I've known you for a long time, but in the time that we've been best friends, which is probably the last maybe three years? Like,
yeah, 3 years.
3 years, yeah. So, like, in just that time, I can see, like, how much you've improved. Like, even just from, like, your appearance, like, you know, from, not in a rude way, obviously, but as in, like, you know, you'd say yourself, like, because when you're anxious or depressed, or, you know, you just don't have the motivation to care about how you look or, like, what you're eating or your health, like, because you just care on, like, we've said a few times, getting from day to day. And I was the same. I didn't care what I ate. I just didn't want to eat because it was really hard, you know. And now, like, you're eating, like, thousands and thousands of calories a day, like, you're trying to, you know, bulk up and but, like, even besides all that, like, just the way I see you eat, like, you eat normal meals, you eat snacks, and you used to find it so hard, like, you just eat a packet of sweets and that would be it for lunch or whatever. And I just think, and I'm the same as well, I've changed so much with that, because I literally have, like, a piece of toast and then throw up, and now I can't stop eating. It's a bad habit. But anyway, the point is, I think, like, I've noticed not even, you know, in so many areas that you've improved. And from the fact that, like, we used to meet up and you'd be really, like, anxious and nervous about, like, college, stuff that was going on, and even just, like, meeting up, and, like, so many things affected you, and I, like, obviously, we've seen each other throw up a lot of times from anxiety, probably more than anyone has.
More than anyone should.
But it's fine, because we move. But the point is, like, you know, I can see how much you've improved. Like, I haven't even seen you be sick in ages, and that was something that was, like, a frequent thing for both of us. So it's just really nice, like, and I think, honestly, like, this advice I would love to give to people, but obviously it's not exactly advice that's easy to follow, but get yourself a best friend with anxiety. Because honestly, it has helped me so much. Or even just talk it. Okay, this is a more realistic piece of advice. Just talk to people about it, whether they have anxiety or not. Obviously, if they have anxiety, it's lovely because you can relate to each other and compare, and it's really nice to, like, to talk to someone that feels the way you do. But just anyone in general, talking for me is a big one. And it's something that's really hard for a lot of people. I totally understand that. Because it was for me as well, surprisingly, because I talk a lot. But it was always something that when I first, because I was so young maybe, when I first sort of found out that I had anxiety, I thought no one else had it. I thought it was like some really the demonic thing. And I thought I was like crazy. So I didn't really talk to people. But since I've been able to talk and since I've been more open and honest, I actually feel like I've affected quite a few people in a good way, like affected their lives, because even people who didn't know anything about anxiety, like a friend of ours, didn't know much about it. And I think we've like said stuff to them and they've just been like so much more like understanding of it. And like, it's really crazy when you tell people stuff, you know, and people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't know it affected that. And I didn't know it affected that. Like, because, you know, it affects everything down to like eating and sleeping, like so much of your life, and people just don't realize. So talking to anyone about it is just so good, because it gets it out there, raises awareness, and it makes you feel better because you get it off your chest.
And they will be nice about it.
They just will.
And if they're not, then they shouldn't be someone you should be talking to anyway.
Then they should not be your friend.
I think, like, I've always been someone who, unlike Emmy, is not a talker. And I used to shake horrendously whenever I had to speak in front of the class. But it's got to the point where now my anxiety is one of the easiest things to talk about. And I think it's not only, even to new people, I can just sort of say it and be like, well, that's the most stressful thing about me. And now you know that. So everything else is a breeze from here. And, you know, and I think it gives you that sort of instant connection with someone, even if they don't have anxiety, just that you've opened up to them in that way, like, definitely brings you closer.
Yeah.
And just having someone else who knows and understands, you know, why you might not be in school today or college or whatever. And like someone who, you know, just, if you remove yourself from a social gathering with no explanation, someone who will understand and vouch for you in front of someone, and you don't have to wonder if everyone is thinking where you are, because you know someone will know where you are. And They will be very nice to you about it. Like, I've not spoken to one person who has given me any negativity around it at all.
Yeah, no, 100% I agree. And that's the thing. I mean, obviously, we're very lucky that in today's society, it's not as taboo as it used to be. But, you know, it still is. And for a lot of people, they still feel it is. And they still feel like outside. They still feel like an outsider. But 100%, if there is someone you feel comfortable talking to, even if it's just, you know, your sister, your mum, your dog, whoever, maybe your dog is not as good, but even, you know, it's a start. Talking to someone just to get something off of your chest for a start is just such a great coping method, for me anyway. And you know what, I know it doesn't help everyone. I know plenty of people that don't find it easy to talk, and that's also fine. But honestly, that's something I would say really helped. And another thing for me is, like, coping methods for me, well, first of all, completely agree with you, Adam, and I actually don't think it sounds generic. I know saying have faith, like, is, but what you went into explaining, I've actually, like, never heard that advice, and that's really good. Like, now that I think of it, that is advice that I kind of do live by, like, subconsciously, is that, like, it is gonna get better, because that's realistically, that's the best you that's what you can always do. That's something you can always do, no matter how low you're feeling. You can say, you can tell yourself it's gonna get better, you can get someone to tell you it's going to get better. Somebody always will. And
that's something that you can always do, whereas, like, there's a lot of coping method, there are a lot of coping methods that are, like, do a mindfulness meditation for 5 minutes, and it's, like, sometimes you're in the position where you're shaking and you feel sick and you don't even want to move out of, you know, the fetal position in your bed, let alone getting up. But I think that's a good advice, what you said, because it's something you can always do. Although it's hard, you can always tell yourself, even if you don't believe it, you can always tell yourself, because, you know, speak it into existence. But I agree, and I think my last piece of advice would be, do what helps you at the end of the day. And sometimes it's a journey, sometimes it's a trek to find that. And, you know, it's taken me, and I'm still finding at the age of 19 now, like, having known I've had anxiety for years, I still am finding coping methods that are helping me that I didn't think of before, that I didn't used to, or whatever. So I think it's just finding your own journey and, you know, hearing other people's ideas and ultimately just deciding what makes you feel better. And just be gentle with yourself, like, let yourself have days where you struggle and accept that, and it's okay to do that. I guess that kind of, we've already kind of covered it, but it leads us to our last question, which is advice.
I just want to say on the, I might cover advice, sorry, I didn't let you finish that question.
I was
going to
say advice for, like, final advice, for final words and advice for the listeners.
Final bit of advice is, obviously, what I said earlier about having faith is more of a long term, might not help you in that exact moment, but, like, for day to day, just doing something. And it doesn't have to be something hard, although it might seem hard, and getting out of bed does seem like the hardest thing to do. Even if it's just getting out of bed and putting some clothes on and making your bed or having a shower, even if that's the only thing you do in the entire day, just let there be something, because it will make you feel so much better. And I know that helps with depression as well as anxiety.
Yes.
100%. And it might not help for everyone, but, like, from people I've spoken to and myself personally, it's had, like, a massive effect on it, because, like, for me, it was getting up and showering and just feeling clean each day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually it will become a habit, and it will make that day itself a lot easier. Even if you, you know, get up, get dressed, have a shower and then get dressed, and then go and sit on your bed for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's better than just lying there and not
it
moving
really
all day.
Is. And no, I totally agree. And why do I keep saying totally?
I don't know.
It's because I'm always about to say totally, and then I'm like, that sounds really chavvy, that's not me. And then I'm
totally.
Like, but then totally and totally. Anyways, I totally agree. I think that for those of you who don't know us, if there's anyone listening that does not know us, we are just staying together at the moment in lockdown, like staying in the same house where I live in London for uni, because... Well, it helps with our anxiety, really, bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really good, because I've had days where I've woken up and just cried all morning and been like, I just don't want to get up. And Adam will just be like, just get out of bed. As soon as you're out of bed, that's one step, you know, go and have a shower and whatever. And he's been lovely. He's been delight. Mm. He's really helped me. But I know everyone can't have that. I know it's not as easy as, oh yeah, just move on your best friend for a bit, it's fine. But honestly, you're so right, Adam, doing one little tiny thing, even if you can't even shower, get up and change, you know, clothes. Like, my mum, I always say this to Adam, my mum used to say to me, even if, like, you just change out of your pyjamas and change into some other pyjamas, like some clean ones, it's just better than, you know, it's doing something, you've achieved something, and you've, and also, this is something my auntie has been saying to me recently, just for advice for people in lockdown in general, but I think it's really helped with my anxiety, is celebrating the small victories. So something my auntie said was, you know, walk down the road two blocks, like, walk past two houses and
blocks.
Run back. Leave me alone, all right? I went a bit American there. But anyways, so she said, you know, run to the house next door and run back. And then celebrate it and give yourself a mini high five and be like, well, I did it. Like, you know, it's achievable. Don't push yourself. That's another thing, a piece of advice I give. Don't push yourself to do such difficult tasks, because I do that so often. I still do now. I'm guilty of it. Saying, you know, oh, tomorrow I'm going to write 600 words of my essay in 1 hour. Like, it's just, it's unrealistic. Set yourself goals that you can complete, even if they're silly. Even if you think, I'm going to water a plant in my room today, or I'm going to draw a flower, like something really silly, but that just makes you feel good once you've done it. Or I'm going to finish an episode of something I enjoy. Just give yourself little goals. That's what's helped me, not just with anxiety, but over lockdown. So I think that's a piece of advice that'd be good for everyone at the moment. At the end of the day, it's what works for you. But I'm always here, and I'm sure you are too, to give suggestions to people.
Yeah.
So you can always ask us. Yeah, so that's pretty much the end. Do you have any final words? Maybe like one final sentence to leave it on, like a sentence covering everything or an advice? Or
Whatever stage you're at, I think just don't give up and the next stage will get better. I think when you feel like you're at your worst, then that's your worst and it can only get better from there. And I think that's just something that even people without anxiety should yeah. be thinking is a good mindset to have. And it's not always easy to have that mindset, but when you can, try.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That's great. I love that. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Adam, for sharing your story.
You are very welcome.
I've sung it every time I've said it and I'm not giving up. And so that's just a little bit about my and Adam's anxiety. Hopefully that's helped some of you. Thank you for listening. If you have any requests for other podcasts, let us know. There will be plenty to come because we have many ideas. So thank you very much and goodbye.
Goodbye.